Have you ever wondered what it's like to work in the wrestling industry? Do you want the inside and exclusive meet and greets, interviews, and interactions? Do you plan or want to attend WrestleMania 32 in Dallas? If you answered yes to these questions, Chairshot Reality can make it all happen for you. CSR's WrestleMania VIP fan experience packages are now available. This is a one-in-a-lifetime chance to be more than a fan of the Super Bowl of Wrestling. The VIP fan experience gives you an all-access pass to several events WrestleMania weekend, such as the Friday night welcome party complete with food and drinks. Last year, we took over Rookie Sports Lodge in San Jose, and even Vince Russo and Nasty Boy Brian Knobs came by to hang out and mix and mingle with all the fans. You also get into the Kevin Nash party, and let me tell you, you never know who you're going to rub elbows with at that bad boy. Saturday night is a Hall of Fame party. Last year, we took over J-Lord Wines, had a private wine tasting, and every single fan walked away with a signed Kevin Nash Hall of Fame bottle of wine. On Sunday, you get to sit with the entire CSR team at WrestleMania 32. What really makes this package a must-have is all the interaction with the boys. You're staying at the CSR hotel, you're eating with the guys, you even have an impromptu pizza party poolside. You never know what's going to happen with the CSR WrestleMania fan experience. I was the first CSR fan experience winner, and let me tell you, this is a package you don't want to miss. For more information or how you can get in on this VIP experience, email csrmania31@hotmail.com.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
I was wrestling Bo Dallas on Big Show, and that's sad just because of the Bo Dallas shenanigans he would have pulled.
Now that... You and LeVar are stupid for saying that. I'm sorry.
This is total crap.
First of all, bada boom, realest guys in the world.
How you know?
Welcome to BS with CSR. My name is Blake Mitchmore. I'm the bull. I guess that makes my partner Shane Shoemaker the
shark boy. That's kind of what I'm going for is Halloween, you know. Is that good? Is that one okay?
Your ass words get weirder and weirder every single week.
You love Shark Boy. You love Shark Boy.
Let's just stop talking about Shark Boy. Let's hit the headlines. Shane, Hulk Hogan's 1998 WCW contract came out, and I don't know if it was real, but if it was real, is there any question as to why that company's not in business anymore?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you've got... First of all, I think you did the numbers on this because, you know, I can not count to potato. So, but all I know is it was like a lot of money, a lot of money.
I did some rough numbers last night when this came out, and based on the buy rates that you see for the 8 pay-per-views that he worked, if that contract that came out yesterday was right, he earned upwards of $16 million in pay-per-view revenue alone in 1998.
Yeah, I mean, and then the other stuff in there, like, you know, he basically, you know, he got, like, you know, probably $100,000 for taking a piss in the urinal at the arena or something like that.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, you got... Plus, I mean, he's not the only one who probably got big deals like this, so...
There's no way they paid anybody else close to that. I mean...
Well, no, not that, but, you know, still big deals.
So, I mean, Hogan broke the bank, but WWE broke ground Monday... Because Breaking Ground premiered. You love that segue? Breaking Ground premiered Monday. What'd you think of the show? I loved it. I mean, I thought it was awesome. I wrote a column this past Tuesday. I had two problems with it. Two problems. One was William Shatner, just because it's William Shatner. I can't take William Shatner seriously. I'm sorry. It's William frickin' Shatner. The other one, Baron Corbin came off as fake and trying to be a dickhead.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe that I agreed with you on so many things on Breaking Ground. Cause,
well, I'm a smart man.
Well, for once, it was actually, you know, intelligent, but, you know, that's beside the point. The worst thing I would think was probably the Baron Corbin thing, though. You know, they were trying to make him into something bigger than he wasn't, you know, and trying to make him to the douche of the show, but the show was great so far, and again, I agree with you on the William Shatner thing as well. I mean, he just didn't fit. There was a terrible fit for the show, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say terrible. For me, it's just I can't take William Shatner seriously, but speaking of serious, man, it sounds like Rusev got a serious injury the other night. Last night of the SmackDown tapings or main event tapings, whatever, he hurt his bicep. I'm gonna go ahead and say this right now. I think this is, I hate to say it because the guy's hurt and, you know, the guy can't make money or whatever, but I think this is good for Rusev because the WWE has ruined what the any momentum this guy had with this Tony Lana, Summer Rae, all that garbage. Now he can go off for like 5 or 6 months. Lana cannot be on TV for 5 or 6 months. They can come back as the – maybe they're not going to be full-blown America haters like they used to be, but they can come back as heels. He can be the strong ass-kicking heel, and maybe this guy can get his momentum back. But – because he needs something, because right now he's in this European six-man fighting six-mans every week, and he sucks. He flat-out sucks now.
Yeah, he definitely needs – and actually, again, another thing that we agree on – he needs to go away for a while so we can forget about him. Because when he comes back, you know, I won't say he'll be missed, but at least he can, I don't know if they'll repackage him or anything like that, but you're going to need to, like, he's going to need to be gone. You're going to have to miss him because right now he hasn't been good since really WrestleMania. You know, when he had that awesome entrance and then he lost to Cena, it just was downhill from there. And we need to forget about this whole Lana engagement and all that stuff. So just, you know, sucks he's injured, but he's got to go away for a while.
Yeah, the package is just fine. You don't have to repackage this guy. We just need a little time to forget Summer Rae and the Ruru and the Cold Fish and all that garbage and just get back to, I'm a bull Bulgarian ass kicker. Here's my hot piece of ass fiance that talks for me and be good with it. Speaking of hot pieces of ass, and if she ever hears this, she might kill me for saying that. Ronda Rousey came out and said after she gets done with the UFC, she wants the Divas title. We knew she was going to be in WWE. We knew that after WrestleMania 31. This sounds like not only does Ronda just want to do things here or there, this sounds like Ronda wants to come after she gets done with the UFC, wants to make a career out of WWE, which is kind of surprising to me.
Very surprising. I mean, she keeps throwing these lines out here like, you know, she wants in WWE, she wants in WWE. I mean, and for WWE's sake, you know, they're just like, please let us know when your UFC deal ends or you're not making movies, because she'll be arguably the biggest star in that company. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, if she goes there, I mean,
if she's still making movies, if she can cut a deal, you know, kind of like a Brock Lesnar deal or something like that, then, yeah, I mean, if she's still making movies, there's no doubt she's going to – and she'll make WWE a killing.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to, you know, again, I don't know how long her UFC deal is, but one, she doesn't have any opponents left, really, in the UFC. Not many, if, you know, because she's basically went through them, unless you're counting the cyborg chick, which that's probably never going to happen. But, you know, what's her deal?
She'll be done fighting in UFC by, I would say, 2018 at the absolute most. Probably more likely 2017.
That's a while. That's quite a while. So you know, does the steam run out by then? I don't know, but you gotta hope
kick somebody's ass in 34 seconds.
Well, yeah. Again, you just hope she doesn't have a Tyson moment, you know, where you're like, you know, a Buster Douglas Tyson moment where she gets knocked out, you know. But I don't see that happening.
I don't either, and I just like, I don't know. And listen, Charlotte. Don't go poking the bull. I mean, we all know wrestling's not real. I'm not going to say the F word, but don't go saying challenging Ronda Rousey, because if you piss her off, she might kick your ass. But speaking of Charlotte and speaking of the Divas, we have to do something we're not used to doing, and that is say something positive about the Divas Revolution. That's right, folks. The streak is over. We've been on this show for the last 6-7 weeks just dogging the Divas out. And I don't know about you, Shane, but I got to be positive. I finally liked what they did Monday night. I loved Paige being the cocky star, like, oh, my phone's blown up from Conan. And then they finally, God, I hope, did something definitive with Paige as she beat the crap out of Charlotte and Becky. I dug it.
Yeah, Paige finally you know, she did the heel turn, finally. You know, I mean, she took over the whole thing, and I think it's what this thing needed. I mean, not saying that, you know, Nikki wasn't a good heel, because she was, but, you know, Paige can be this vicious heel and this new heel in this feud going forward. And there's only one thing I wish she would have done in this, is after she beat the crap out of both of them, I wish she would have, like, grabbed the mic and just kind of subtle just said, "This is my house," and just walked out. I thought that would have been brilliant, you know. I mean, after she just brutally beat both of them down. What's that?
That's not a bad idea. Usually I hate your ideas, but that's not a
yeah,
bad idea.
Yeah, you usually do, yeah. I know. What's happening tonight? We're agreeing on things? I don't understand what's going on right now. But, yeah, the segment was great. I can't believe the streak is actually over. We're not bashing these divas for once. But it was a good segment. I can't complain anything about it.
And I got to continue the positivity and give WWE credit, because they finally hid something and hid it from the fans, because Alberto Del Rio returned Sunday night. And we kind of thought he was going to come back to WWE, but nobody had a clue he was going to be in the John Cena Open Challenge. Not only was he in the John Cena Open Challenge, but he pretty much beat the crap out of John Cena. And, you know, I'm going to get criticized for this, saying the word squash match. It wasn't a squash match, but, I mean, as far as John Cena goes, it was damn close.
Very close. I mean, how many guys, you know, I brought this point up to you the other day, how many guys have went over that clean on John Cena before? I mean, you know, that squeaky clean. I mean, you know, I kind of brought up Owens. He went over clean this year, but, you know, they were back and forth. But Lesnar and now, you know, Del Rio, the guys who have just, like, pretty much beat the crap out of him and went over on him like nothing.
You know, the Alberto Del Rio return was great because it was such a surprise. I don't know how I feel about this pairing with Zeb Coulter and the whole Max America thing. I'll give Nick Houseman and WrestleZone Daily a little credit. He had Alfred Kanoa from Forbes Magazine and Bleacher Report on, and Kanoa said that he thinks it's kind of a play off of Donald Trump's stance on, you know, building a wall around Mexico and all his ridiculous stances as far as the presidential race goes. And if that's true, I kind of see it, but it just doesn't feel like it works for me. I don't know, but what do you think, Shane?
It feels a little forced. It really does. You know, I know this is kind of in this connection with McMahon-Trump deal. They're just trying to get whatever's popular right now. They're trying to include those forces in. I hate the name. I absolutely hate the name. It sounds dumb. It doesn't come off good. Again, I like Del Rio, and I don't mind Zeb Coulter, but I'm like you, it feels forced.
That feels forced, but I will tell you an angle that I'm really digging right now, and that's this whole Wyatt's abducting Taker, Wyatt's abducting Kane, Monday Night Raw. I hate the fact that it's most likely going to lead to just some lame-ass Survivor Series tag match. I really wish it would lead to some kind of, like, Taker and Kane being a part of the Wyatt family or something original, but it's still really cool. You know, Monday night, the visual of the Wyatts carrying Taker out Sunday night was awesome. I thought the visual Monday night was really cool. I thought the Wyatts dragging Kane into the smoke as Bray Wyatt singing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" was awesome. I just wish this wasn't leading to just a tag match. I wish it was leading to something better, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very. You know, you got to give Wyatt one thing. They can at least sometimes make a good story with him, even if he rambles on about God knows what. They can at least make a story out of him. I mean, I didn't really like it initially when he just showed up and took out Undertaker like he did, even though it was really cool. And then they did it the next night with Kane. Again, the story's really good so far. You know, if you can go through the Wyatt mumbo jumbo, I guess. But I just hate how they use this guy though. And just to, you know, because he's the guy that they're going to pin. I mean, he's going to get beat every time, every single time.
I will say that I don't think it will happen, but I would like it if this was finally the angle to get Bray over, where the Wyatt family, you know, whether it's Taker, Kane, Sting, and some other older guy, or Taker, Kane, and a couple of guys on the roster right now, that this is the place where Bray finally gets his signature win, although I doubt it. I'm sure 25th anniversary of Survivor Series. He just lost at Hell in a Cell. He's not fighting Brock Lesnar. Team Taker will probably get the win. Let me ask you this. We've seen Taker go away Sunday. We've seen Kane go away Monday. Does Brian Gulish get happy to Sting show up this Monday?
Unless they're really hiding this really, really well, I don't think so. Because, I mean, it'd be cool if it did, but I don't see it. I mean, they were coming off like Sting was like in just horrible, like in a horrible situation with the whole neck thing with Seth Rollins. Again, it may have healed up now. I have no idea, but I know it's a tag match and you can kind of get away with that and him not doing much, but I don't see it. Now, I don't know who else is going to do it. But
the storyline works perfectly for Sting. I mean, you've got these guys taking these guys hostage, terrorizing them. Who better than the vigilante to come save the day?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see if Sting's healthy enough. So that was the Wyatts. And the guy that beat Bray Wyatt Sunday night, Roman Reigns, had a hell of a Raw and is now the new number one contender. Let me first say this. I thought the match Sunday night was badass. I thought Reigns looked really good Monday night. I'm not sure that this is the time to go this route. I would prefer to wait a couple more months, but you can't really complain because Roman is in it. He's on a different level. You wrote a blog about it, you know, yesterday with Jimmy Corderas. Yeah. I wrote about it a couple weeks ago. Roman has stepped up his game. He deserves to be at the top of the card. I just don't know if I think right now is the time.
Well, to me, the main reason is, and you know, I plan on writing about this later, but the main reason is like Survivor Series is always that pay per view where you start planting seeds for WrestleMania, and I think they're doing that with the Shield triple threat. Like, I don't think Roman goes over here at all. I think again, I've always said that Rollins is holding this to Mania, and you know, he was either going to lose Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns probably, and I think you get the Ambrose heel turn with this, and you know, because I think the big thing they want to see in this match at Survivor Series is probably like, which I'm assuming is going to take place at Survivor Series, is if you know, if Roman gets hot in that match and he takes off and Ambrose screws him out of it, how will they react? Will they cheer or you know, will they boo? If they boo, it's a good sign that he's probably going to go over WrestleMania.
My thing is this, if this goes down at Survivor Series, I don't give a crap if it's Taker, Sting, Kane, and freaking Rock. It's not going to be The Rock, but even if it's The Rock, this has to main event Survivor Series. This is your two young guys. This is for the World Heavyweight Championship. No more Seth fighting in the middle of the card. This has to be the main event. Bottom line.
Oh, no, yeah, it has to be a main event. I mean, you've got to see where Roman and kind of Seth are here in this. And, again, you got to see if Roman's ready for this spot. I mean, can he do it? I think he can. We both said he's on a different level as far as his in-ring work goes right now.
Speaking of main eventers, coming up next, we're debuting a brand new segment with a future main eventer, or at least in Shane's mind.
Oh, no.
And now it's time for the Dana Brooke Minute, celebrating the gray-haired diva that Shane loves and everybody else in the world thinks sucks.
Every time you hear that song, that means our brand new segment, the Dana Brooke Minute, checking in on how Dana Brooke's dominating NXT. Oh, wait, Dana Brooke wasn't even on NXT TV this week. Huh.
You just leave that silver-haired Fox diva alone, will you please? God, this is BS.
That's just total bull, man.
You know what that Charles Barkley sound means? It's BS moments of the week. Shane, what bothered you this week, my man?
Well, you know, I was listening, you know, as we all do, we kind of listen to these other podcasts too, you know, the famous ones, Austin, JR, and all that stuff. You know, I don't hate this guy, and it's going to come off like I am, but, you know, right back on Stone Cold's podcast, he come out, and the initial report was like it sounded like he was kind of arrogant wanting this, but, you know, he said his contract ends in a year, and he's wanting to, like, you know, add, like, a tour bus to that. Dude, they all need him, but I'm sorry, you're just not on that level. You know, and the guy's all about positivity, and he has a great work ethic, and it sounds great and all, but he sounds like the kid on a football team that, you know, that says he's playing every week and never gets to play because he's never going to be in that position. He's just not that good. You're nothing better than an 80s, late, you know, mid-90s wrestler that's the best he's ever going to be. So that is why I'm calling BS on Ryback.
I mean, I agree with that. I will say that the one thing that I walked away from that podcast was, is Ryback's actually kind of smart. He's not the meathead he plays on TV.
Oh, he is smart. Yeah, he's very smart.
I thought he was just a big, gigantic meathead, but he's not. But, yeah, he doesn't deserve a bus. I don't think any of them deserve a bus unless they can afford it on their own. But anyway, so listen. The Susan G. Komen segments bother me. I think they're BS because, I'm not CM Punk. I don't think it's because they support Komen. We don't need the whole freaking roster out there for these segments. Dean Ambrose was out there. He acted like he couldn't give a crap about being out there. Stardust is out there in face paint. The Ascension's out there. You know, Kevin Owens was out there on some. Why can't we just have our PR people, like, you know, a couple of the Divas, Roman Reigns, John Cena. Hell, I wouldn't even mind Seth Rollins being out there because he does do a bunch of PR, even though he's a heel. But we don't need I don't need to see Bray Wyatt out there. I don't need to see The Undertaker. I don't need to see the guys that paint their faces or the Lucha Dragons in masks. Let's get the PR people out there to do what they do. Titus was great. That segment should have been like Stephanie, Triple H, and Titus with a couple of Komen people. That's it. Not the whole roster. Let's not, you know, I hate to say it like this, but it's just like we talked about earlier in the show, Breaking Ground's a little forced. They try to force the Komen things a little bit. Let's make it a little more natural. Let's not, you know, make it like, hey, we all wear breast cancer shirts. We all do this. We get it. It's a little too much.
I've always said these segments, like, kind of, you know, take, you know, get away from the tone of the show anyways. I don't like these segments. Again, I'm not, you know, I'm not hating on, you know, people with breast cancer. I'm not doing that. And yeah, you know, I'll probably get that. People hate me now, but it destroys the tone of the show. I mean, I don't like it. I mean, why not have this? I mean, even NFL, I think, you know, when they do this stuff, they do it, like, during halftime. You know, they don't have it during the, like, middle of a third and five play, you know. I mean, it just, I don't like it. Do it during, you know, one of your commercial breaks or something like that and have it on YouTube later for all the world to see and congratulate WWE for. It just does not go along with the show. And it kind of, I know kayfabe is pretty much dead, but, I mean, if you have, like, other heels and people out there like that, it just, it doesn't go well.
Oh, well, I guess the two things we learned tonight is that Dana Brooke doesn't dominate NXT like you think, and you hate cancer.
So I'm the heel.
Yeah, you are. I think that was established show one. You're the heel of the show. I'm the baby face. I'm the Roman Reigns. You're the Doink the Clown.
Hey, I'll take it at this point. I'm taking it.
All right, that's it for this week. Follow Shane at SShoemaker24. Follow me at Blake Mitchmore. Thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you next week.
Into the fire you go. Will it keep you warm from